This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Are you a financial advisor considering the Independent Registered Investment Advisor, or RIA, model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. Schwab has helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Navigate the big and small decisions by tapping into Schwab's decades worth of insights on what fuels RIA success. With Schwab Advisor Services, you have a custodian that will support you every step of the way. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
Hello, all you cool cats and kittens, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. And we are here. I am Keith Cork, your host. I'm here with Trey Hill, my co-host, here to break down a win, another win for the Chicago Bulls. Despite being shorthanded 120-109 over the San Antonio Spurs, Trey, their fourth win in a row. The Bulls are getting it done. DeMar DeRozan is getting it done, isn't he?
He just continues to get it done, this time against one of his old teams in the San Antonio Spurs, especially in the fourth quarter. I don't know exactly how many points he ended up with in the fourth quarter. I know it was his career high. At one point, he had 19 in the fourth. I know he finished with more than 40. It really was a DeMar DeRozan game, and he was the difference in a win and a loss between two teams that, other than having DeMar DeRozan on our team, the Bulls roster being depleted as it is, and this San Antonio Spurs roster, they looked eerily similar other than the fact that we had DeRozan and they did not.
Yeah, I think he was the difference maker tonight, and I think he's a difference maker on most nights. I think he's just having a very, very special season, and as I said before on a previous show, I hope we don't waste that. I hope the Bulls, go into the playoffs, trying to get this guy at least into the second round, I would hope. Hopefully even further. We'll see how it goes. A little bit of troubling news with Zach LaVine, which we'll have to cover in a minute here, but you are listening to the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage team, and please listen to every game, show, show. Listeners, please take a moment to follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it right now. So, yeah, he did score 40, Trey. He scored 19 in the fourth quarter. Just insanity. I missed most of that because I was driving home, unfortunately. But 19 points in that fourth quarter, 8 of 9 from the field. He's scored 40. 38, 35, 36, 38, 45, and 31 over his last, 7 games. So 30 or more points in 7 straight games. And he's shooting at Trey, except for that 7th game there. So in the last 6 games, he's shooting at 50% or better from the field in every single one of those games, which is just pure insanity. He's just getting to his spots and putting him up. I actually saw tonight, I think it was the third quarter, I saw Io dribble to a DeMar DeRozan spot. I said, is Io taking a DeMar DeRozan shot here? Because he dribbled it to like the elbow and then did one of those side shuffle steps into a fadeaway jumper and nailed it. That's the best part. He just absolutely crushed it and nailed it. And I was like, wait a minute. This is Io Desumu disguised as DeMar DeRozan. That's got to be a good, we've talked about it before, but a good influence for Io, huh?
Yes, 100%. You can see the influence he has, whether it's the play you refer to or the one I noticed where Io was in the corner and he pump fakes out of the corner three, gets this guy in the air, takes one dribble inside and just takes that little shot, kind of like that pick and pop spot for Vucevic there on the side. But just that little one dribble mid-range pull-up, just so happy to take the little 2 points and the Spurs were happy to give. Io had a good game. Kobe White started off the game extremely hot, extremely aggressive. He was really, I think, what started the Bulls off strong. Instead of starting off slow like they have been with the turnovers, that they actually were able to get off to a decent start. before the Spurs system just kind of ground them down there for a little while before DeMar put the Bulls on his back there in the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. Coby White, amazing game also. He ended up with 24 points on 6 of 11 shooting, 5 of 6 from beyond the arc. But he was cooking, and like you said, at the start of the game, I did get to see a lot of that. And just fantastic to see, man. We got everything we want and more out of Coby White tonight. 24 points, like I said, just a little bit more than I'd even expect from him. But on a night when Zach LaVine isn't playing, definitely desperately needed. 6 assists also for Coby White and only 1 turnover, which has been a trend we've been seeing recently. Also, I just feel like the role he's in right now, Trey, is the ideal role for him, where he doesn't need to worry about ball handling so much or being the ball security for the Bulls, because you've got DeMar DeRozan. You know, you've got Ayo Dosunmu out there. When Zach's healthy, you got him out there. This is the role he needs, where he doesn't need to worry about handling pressure on the ball. He just needs to worry about shooting the dang ball, man. Shoot the ball and put it in the hole. That's what Coby White does best.
Yes, and when he does that, then he playmakes off of that. He didn't get those 6 assists in the first quarter. He got those early buckets. The defense had to respect his shot. Then once they had to do that, Kobe's able to drive and dish. I wrote down he had a pass with 4 minutes with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Just he drove the lane and just an absolutely beautiful dump off to Vucevic, that Vucevic was able to dunk it down with a little authority because Kobe set him up so perfectly. It was just a really good night for him, a really good night for DeMar. Ayo had his bright spots. I thought he did a really good job on Murray, who I think has played at an all-star level this year. And Vucevic, again, dominated, had 25 and 16 going against Jakob Poeltl, someone we both kind of thought might be a nice target for the Bulls come trade deadline. Poeltl's he kind of does the same thing Vucevic does in terms of the defense. And then on offense, he does the same sort of thing. He just doesn't have that three-point shot. So seeing Vucevic come out and dominate their version of him, that was kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Vuce had a good night. Also, 26 points. 25 points and 16 rebounds and 5 assists also. 12 of 24 from the field. Vuce has been playing amazing the last 15 games or so. I mean, everything for the Bulls is clicking. It's just a matter of getting guys healthy at this point. Obviously, still waiting for Lonzo Ball, still waiting for Alex Caruso, still waiting for Patrick Williams. Now we're waiting for Zach LaVine. And while we're on the subject, why don't we talk about it, Trey? Obviously, a little bit of worrisome news. Zach LaVine going to actually the guy that repaired his ACL, a specialist to get just an opinion on some discomfort he's been feeling in his knee for a while now. And we've been hearing a little bit about this here and there, just kind of whispers of it for maybe the last, I don't know, month and a half about this, Trey. And, it's something he's been cleared to play. He's able to play through it. It's just discomfort that's giving him problems. And we've been seeing him not playing at 100%, right? I mean, he hasn't looked like himself.
Yeah, I'm glad that I saw somewhere that the MRI had come back clean. Mm-hmm. So there doesn't appear to be any structural damage. He gets some swelling in it, has that discomfort. And that's obviously an issue, but I'd much rather it be an issue now and have them look into it here in the middle of February than come playoff time then look at it. I know that we keep saying that about the Lonzo injury, about the Patrick Williams injury, the Caruso injury. We keep saying, well, it's good to have it now, but that it is good to be able to try and get it right now and to get it figured out. The Bulls are currently still sitting in second place. They're a game and a half up on Cleveland. So as long as they can stay in that top four spot, you know, a top four seed, I think the Bulls are really kind of prioritizing health over anything else.
That's why it's just so important for the Bulls to get this win tonight, and they pull it through, man. And you know, it's another hard-fought game. We did play the Spurs earlier, and I want to say, did we lose to them? I think we did, didn't we? Yeah, we did. We lost by 9 points in a game on the 28th of January. So a hard-fought game in that one, and a hard-fought game tonight also. Could have really gone either way, but like you said, DeMar DeRozan was kind of the difference maker there. But just so key for the Bulls to get these wins, and the Bulls do have a Kings here before the All-Star break as well. They should get a win over. Kings just got absolutely demolish tonight. And so hopefully the Bulls can do something similar to that to them when they meet them on Wednesday. I don't think we're going to have a recap for that one, Trey, because I do have to work that night in a way that I can't watch the game, unfortunately. But again, I will be watching it the next day, and I'll for sure be probably tweeting about it or something like that. So follow me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. If you want to get all that goodies. But back to this game here tonight. Kobe White saying hi. Javonte Green, a guy we haven't talked about, touched on just yet. I just want to talk about just, you know, he's such – I actually heard Bill Wennington on the radio on my way home, you know, singing his praises. And what he said made a lot of sense. He said, this is a guy – you know, doesn't reflect in the box score necessarily, but it's a guy that, you know, you don't want to play against him because he's just so physical, and he just changes the structure of the game. Just, you could see him just working the offensive glass, Trey, which is something the Bulls desperately need just because we're so undersized, and his defense and his ability to get out and run, his ability to dunk the basketball. The athleticism is just, this is the Patrick Williams, you know, role that he's filling right now. And he's doing it pretty well, isn't he?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need. And 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Yeah, the injury seemed to bother him a little bit. But other than that, he's been exactly what the Bulls have been missing. That guy who, while we love Javonte Green is 6'4". And, you know, has a wingspan to match it. Whereas Derrick Jones Jr., when he comes in, he is playing above the rim constantly without having to, you know, use absolutely all of his jumping power. Because we know Javonte Green can get up there. But Derrick Jones Jr., it's just different having his size out there, having that kind of ability. So I think that's big. Bradley only got 4 minutes tonight. To me, I really think that's more... Who was he going to go up against? Zach Collins? I think Derrick Jones Jr. is just a better matchup. So to me, I think what it gives Billy Donovan is the chance to play the matchups more. Mm-hmm. And what at the beginning of the fourth, we saw DeMar DeRozan start his fourth quarter takeover by he was constantly getting in the lane, just against, you know, getting to the rim, getting buckets. Basically what you see teams do against Vucevic and the Bulls, you know, these last, you know, 2 weeks with Lonzo out, with Caruso out, how teams just kind of eat at the rim against the Bulls. DeMar was able to do that against Poeltl and the Spurs. They were able to get Poeltl in, you know, away from the rim, and then DeMar just dominated. So to me, I think it all kind of ties together. Derrick Jones Jr. can help protect the rim for Vucevic. So I think that helps Vuce on defense too.
Yeah, you're talking a little DJJ. I thought he played well, too. I was mentioning Javonte, though, my friend. But that's okay. DJJ also played well, I thought, in the time that he was in there. But yeah, both those guys are just so key. And they're playing the role that, that again, Patrick Williams, we're hoping, will be in there to play, you know, hopefully soon. Hopefully not that much longer. He'll maybe get to play for our last 10 games or so. But yeah, both those guys really holding it down in a kind of a platoon situation when Derrick Jones Jr. is healthy, and his ability for DJJ to go small ball center is really important too. I think you're right there. So
sorry about that. I was looking at the cleaning the glass numbers to see just how often the Spurs attacked the rim against us. They shot 45% of their shots were at the rim against the Bulls tonight. Mm. So they really did attack that. And so sorry to completely miss you on the Javonte Green spot there.
It's all good. Both those guys, you know, a little bit interchangeable, but it's all good. But no worries. A good win for the Bulls. Like I said, they got the Kings on Wednesday. Then we have a nice long, you know, all-star break here. Don't play again until the 24th of February. You know, so there's a good, 8 days in between the Kings and the Hawks game there, where, you know, there's just going to be no Bulls basketball. Bulls get to stretch their legs out and hopefully get a little bit healthy here, because we really need some of these guys back. Good to be winning these games, Trey, but, you know, you get the feeling that the energy level just can't be sustained. It's just going to be You know, they're going to come down. But while they're so shorthanded, I am going to keep playing those DeMar DeRozan overs on Thrive Fantasy. So I want to tell you guys about our brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos. That is Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. A little interesting conversation that some of my friends in another group are having, Trey, and I want to run it by you. Stacey King on the broadcast is breaking down a play. I think it was DeJounte Murray. Somebody was driving it on the Bulls, and he was talking about how there was no help coming from the Bulls on the drive. It was just a straight line to the basket, and the Bulls end up getting saved on that play by a block by Ayo Dosunmu. And what my friends were saying was that that's not necessarily true. There are times when the play call on the defensive side is to stay with your man and to deny the pass, because the Spurs lead the NBA in assists. That's the way they play basketball. So kind of an interesting wrinkle there, Trey, that, you know, it's not always, you don't always play defense the same way against every team and against every player. That play ended up in a block for Dosunmu. Maybe that's something that, you know, the Bulls were seeing that they could, you know, take advantage of, and that's a result that they were looking for, because they don't want the, you know, the Spurs to get those easy buckets off of an easy pass. What are your thoughts on that?
Not only that, but you mentioned showing them different looks. Murray might have been driving with the intention of thinking that he was going to pass that ball. Got into the lane, realized he wasn't able, didn't have anywhere to dish the ball to. And that second of hesitation, because the Bulls switched up the defensive coverage and it wasn't what he expected, might have been what Ayo needed to recover and get that block. So I remember watching that part come up, and Marcy came in and was talking to me about something. So I didn't see like what they drew out. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's, you have to mix up your defensive coverages, whether it's the Bulls doing something like that or the Spurs. They threw some press out of a timeout coming, you know, in the first half, or throwing zone that Vucevic was able to break. But just mixing different defensive coverages, I think, is really good against good offensive teams, because offensive teams have their systems. Like you said, the Spurs like to do what they like to do. The Bulls like to do what they like to do. And to throw them curveballs, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily, and not to pick on Stacey, I think Stacey just in this scenario, I don't think he necessarily knows. I don't claim to know either what the Bulls were planning to do on that position. And, the default is to have help defense. So not picking on Stacey King there, just an interesting conversation and a conversation I was having with some of my friends while I was at work, and definitely working very hard, as you can tell. But the Bulls, here's an interesting thing from a macro level, Trey. You've got the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls at the top of the Eastern Conference, 1-2, which is just, that's insanity. I don't think anyone to start the season would have picked that, first of all. Second of all, these two teams might, I would have to look and do some research, but they might be two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference in terms of games missed due to injury. I know the Bulls have to be up there. They absolutely have to be up there, because they have, you know, they've had 3/5 of their starting lineup injured at any given time. And the Miami Heat, you know, Bam Adebayo was out for like a month and a half. Jimmy Butler was out for like the first month or something of the season. And so that's why when I look at these standings, I see the Cleveland Cavaliers right behind us, and then the Sixers and the Bucks. None of them really scare me, man. It's not, I mean, the Cavs don't scare me as much. I mean, I know I've said I don't want them as a first round matchup. I think in terms of that, it scares me. But in terms of just overall skill, I think the Bulls definitely have it over the Cavs. I think the Sixers and the Bucks are two that you could probably make a case that the Bulls can be a little afraid of. But man, it looks pretty wide open to me. What about you?
I think the 76ers and the Nets both got better with their trade at the trade deadline. So to me, I think we've got the Bucks, Nets, 76ers are kind of in that tier above the Bulls. They're kind of like the 1A, 1B, 1C. And then I think I've got the Bulls and the Heat right there below them as kind of like the contenders, the pseudo contenders. I think the Bulls are title contenders because I believe in them. But I think just in terms of if you're ranking these teams, given the success that those teams and those players have had come playoff time, I think it's really difficult to look at those three teams and to say as a Bull, you know, even as a Bulls fan, that I expect, you know, I think they would be favored against any three of those.
I think you got me there on the Sixers. I think, yeah, the Sixers are have to be the favorites in the East at this point, even though they're sitting in fourth place in the Eastern Conference at the moment. Joel Embiid, and once they finally get James Harden in there and implemented and playing, even if he's 85% James Harden, 90% James Harden, because he doesn't look quite like himself yet to the season. But even if he's almost quite like himself, I think that's got to be an easy favorite for the Eastern Conference, because just how they played without. I think one thing I think that people are sleeping on, though, is and I mentioned this on the trade deadline show that we did. Go back and listen to that if you guys haven't already. We did a trade deadline special where we broke everything down and told you the implications for the Bulls. But one of the things I mentioned was Seth Curry and what I thought that he brought to the Sixers that they might be missing. So I think people are sleeping on that a little bit. I'm not 100% convinced that you know, the Sixers are going to just win everything forever and ever in the Eastern Conference. I think you can make a case for other teams. I disagree on the Nets. I know, and I like Ben Simmons as a player. I do. I think he brings a lot to the game as far as versatility on the defensive end. He's like a Patrick Williams, you know, just to an nth degree. You know, he's way better at the things Patrick Williams does, except for shooting. Obviously, can't shoot the ball. So he's got limitations. And not to just say Ben Simmons, but just in general, we don't know when he's going to join the team, Trey, because he's still dealing with mental health issues, still dealing with perhaps getting into game condition because he just hasn't played all season. I think we will see him after
the All-Star break. I think that's the key, is the conditioning, because he sat on the bench with the team tonight. So I think being out of Philly, away from that organization, that fan base, that toxic environment for him, you know, it was time for him to move on. He'd been there for a long time. He'd been the scapegoat for a long time, and he needed a change of scenery. So I think he'll be back soon. And for me, a lot of that Nets love is just my appreciation for Kevin Durant. And yeah, I know Kyrie's only playing half the games, but like, Kevin Durant was wearing a shoe size too big, you know, error away from eliminating the world champs last year. So it's just hard for me to bet against Durant.
When it comes playoff time, you're right. I mean, you know, rotations shorten up and you're going to get 35 to 40 minutes of Kevin Durant. And that's just a lot of Kevin Durant for any team to handle. So I do agree there. It is a scary team to face up against in the playoffs. The other thing you mentioned, though, you know, Kyrie Irving being a part-time player, half man, half a season, I think is what Mr. Shaquille O'Neal said, or maybe that was Charles Barkley. I think it was Shaquille. Anyway, someone said that, and I thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah, having him there as a part-time player, half there, even just from a morale standpoint, you know, looking at your teammate on the bench, not being able to contribute, I think it's just something that's going to be really difficult for them to overcome. So I'm not scared of the Nets. Not to say that I don't think the Bulls could lose to the Nets. I think they could. I'm more scared of the Sixers, you know, in a vacuum. I think matching up against either of those teams is going to be really tough, but we'll see how it all works out. I think right now, if the playoffs were today, the Bulls would be matched up with the whoever would win from the Toronto Raptors and maybe the Atlanta Hawks, I think, is who they would get in their play-in game. So neither of those teams scares me. I think the Bulls could easily win that first round, you know, matchup there. So it's looking good, man. It's looking good so far. The Bulls are just battling through adversity, and it's really fun to see. There's something special about this team, Trey, and that's what I'm trying to get to, is that they have had adversity pretty much from, like, the third week of the season, right?
Yeah, and they – I whenever I mentioned, I think it was the last podcast, about how much I enjoy how this team plays for one another, how they're invested in this season, they believe in things, and then you phrased it better than I did after that, and I can't remember how you put it, but I remember being jealous of how you put it. And
I'll have to listen now.
Yeah, that's really what this team embodies for me, is they've really bought in on this team, on this unit. And everyone's coming together to play for one another, and they're playing. They're more than the sum. You know, what is it? The something is bigger than the sum of the parts. Yeah, whatever that saying is, that sort of thing is really what it is for this team. And I'm, you know, come playoff time, even if they go out in the second round, as long as they can get out of the first round, I'm going to consider this a successful season for the Bulls.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been my my goal line here from the start, and I'm going to stick to it. One playoff series win, that's all I want. And then next year, let's go open up that championship window by going and adding a really important piece. I think the Bulls will have the flexibility to do that, and I definitely trust in AK just based on what we've seen already. With the front office moves. But that's going to do it for us, guys. We're probably going to have a little bit of a break here, but we're going to come back and hit you guys with some, you know, all-star content. It's going to be awesome. We're going to brainstorm some really cool things, some really cool concepts, and just do some more macro-level stuff, do some maybe mid-season grades, mid-season breakdowns. Since we're going to be at the all-star break, it's a good time to do that. And maybe just, you know, breaking down some stuff a little bit more depth. So stick with us. Tune in. Listen up. But until then, I want to remind you guys to also sign up with coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. But until then, guys, I am your host, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And all you Bulls fans need to go follow at Ethos Bulls for all those fire Bulls memes. I don't actually, maybe I do some every once in a while, but there's not really any fire memes there. But follow us there so you can get all the latest Bulls news. At Ethos Bulls is the Twitter account. Go follow it now. And until next time, go Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.